Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, June the 12th, 164th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor out of the 2nd, Estelle Fennell. Good afternoon.
Hi, Brian. How are you doing?
Mic is on. This afternoon, we're going to, with the budget stuff that was being talked about, we're going to focus a little bit more on the general plan, get an update on what the general plan is. Mm-hmm. And certainly the goal and concept of the general plan has evolved during this period of time. So we'll spend a little time talking about community involvement also into the general plan, whether it's something that is structurally encouraged or whether it's something that kind of gets in the way. That all-inclusive thing is what I'm talking about. We'll get into those details when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from David Lloyd George, Prime Minister of Britain, yes. Before Churchill.
That's right.
Quote.
With the top hat.
Yes, yes. He was probably the last of the, well, Churchill wore
Churchill wore him once in a while. Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
But, I wonder, quick tangent, if somebody was running for president and dressed as Lincoln, the top hat, the stovetop, and the tails all the time, if they would be laughed out.
And probably.
Just wouldn't be embraced, wouldn't be, if that would be the reaction because of appearances.
What they could do is set it in motion a few years ahead of time and make it the fashion.
That would be frightening, having our politicians be the fashion trendsetters. I have enough problems with what they do in other areas, too. I don't need to follow on that line. Thanks for the fear. Our quote from Prime Minister George. Don't be afraid to take a big step if one is indicated. You can't cross a chasm in two small jumps.
No, that would be kind of painful.
Yeah, and not productive necessarily either.
I like that quote.
The general plan.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the Richardson, or the Phillipsville motocross and all the brouhaha around that.
Mm-hmm.
To my way of thinking, that is the demarcation point of this general plan process and trying to update the existing one. Fair, or would you have a different opinion on that?
I have a different opinion. Only because I don't. What we're talking about here, and has been said before, is slightly more, some cases has been described as a rewrite of the general plan rather than an update of the general plan. But regardless, that's what we have. It's been 12, 13 years since this whole thing got right. And now we're dealing with it. And we're it's the supervisor's role to make the decisions on what the final general plan looks like. It is before us. We're looking at it. As far as demarcation, are you talking about public participation?
Just kind of what really brought it to the public light.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, the general plans, I think, just kind of grind away in the background and nobody pays too much attention to them until something happens, until somebody's ox is running around with its gore.
Well,
that was almost a political pun. No, I almost got to that one, didn't I?
Here's the thing. Very close, actually. Here's the thing. Several of those. You have the TPZ moratorium. That was huge.
That was another significant.
Yeah, and that was an underpinning for some of the policies and goals that were being proposed and are now being addressed. In fact, we just are beginning on the forest resources element or chapter of the land use element, and you know, obviously, there's been a lot of discussion back and forth about whether or not you can build a home on land zoned for timber production. And that has been worked out.
The whole Williamson Act thing, too?
Williamson Act.
That's in your neighborhood as well?
Yes, it is indeed. So you've got that. And then you have the very fact of public participation itself. There's a group of which I was a member before I was elected, which was the Public Participation Working Group, looking at the fact that in the framework plan called for robust involvement at the beginning of the process rather than halfway through or at the end.
I think if you had two Humboldt County residents, you don't have to worry talking about anything. I don't think we have to worry too much about robust not being there.
Yeah, right, exactly. So anyhow, basically that's the whole thing. And that's coming up again now because we just recently took a look at the guiding principles. And we got quite a turnout for that, actually. It was very, very interesting.
So as you look at kind of as a backdrop, because, you know, as you indicated, 13, 15, 25 years, whatever calendar we're going to reference, there's been a lot of change, not only legally, but culturally in the county.
Yes.
New folks in, some of the old families aren't represented anymore that had been before. Yeah. Some of those changes. Does that make it easier to go through? Or more challenging as you're trying to go through the process of creation?
Well, going back again to the guiding principles, which we just looked at, the whole idea of the general plan reflecting the community is a big one, and how that community changes. And I would say, for instance, in my district, you've got a blending among my constituents of people who are newly arrived within the last 30 years or so, and then old ranching families, and they all have very similar concerns, which is their right to live in the country, their you know, rural lifestyle, all of that, and that's come to the fore. I think it's an important issue. I think there is somewhat of a change. Obviously, one of the big changes is the fact that timber isn't king anymore. It, to some degree, you know, we still definitely have our resources out there, and as the economy changes, we'll probably be relying on them more.
KINS News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
Sunshine for Humboldt. Recently, the Eureka Heritage Society named Bill Hole its Preservationist of the Year. For 17 years, he's led the renowned Historic Preservation and Restoration Technology Program at College of the Redwoods. Now, however, he's been told the college may not be able to afford to offer his classes next school year. While the program has a shortfall based solely on enrollment, Mr. Hole says that's not the full story. It's brought in more money than it costs to run, over $1 million from donated supplies, equipment and training sites, state grants and training agreements. He adds, "The type of training we do, integrating construction, rebuilding and revitalizing neighborhoods, is significant to Humboldt County. The intensive hands-on training prepares his students to fill the demand for specialists to work on restorations locally and throughout the country. See, our administrators should take off their green eye shades and see the big picture. This program is a valuable asset to our economy and culture." Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, in the last segment, we talked a little bit about some of the background for the general plan.
Mm-hmm.
whether it's a new document entirely or whether it's an evolution of an existing historical piece.
Yeah.
Okay. I had not thought of it in that juxtaposition, that it was pretty much new but founded upon. Okay, I can go with that one.
Well, it has to be because what we're talking about is a requirement in the general plan. You're supposed to update it every 20 years.
Sailed, didn't it?
Yeah, it sure did. And, you know, the framework plan was created in 3 years. The framework plan, the Constitution, 3 years. Now it's 13 years, you know, and we can't do an update. I'm not going to cry about it. I'm going to take it on and deal with it and move forward. But the bottom line is this was slated to be an update of the framework plan, and there are those who argue we could have gone in, taken the framework plan, looked at where we had to update it and move forward. But instead, there's been added elements in there, and then the argument for those added elements are, well, times are changing. We have a telecommunications element. Wouldn't have had that in 1984. So, we rarely had phones.
You mentioned the time-changing part in reference to the timber.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, it would be nice to at least be able to still have timber yield tax. Mm-hmm. But okay, fine. With marijuana being as prevalent mm-hmm. as it is,
yep.
One of the questions that I know, kind of almost tongue-in-cheek, but really not, should there be a marijuana component of the general plan for the growth restrictions where it can be and zone it? I know you've got to play with this tiger a couple of different times because it is legal in California for certain purposes, because it is legal in Humboldt County for the same said purposes. The concept of having a growing co-op or a plantation where a number of the medicinal growing is going on, does that make sense to cluster those into certain areas and zone them for some of the environmental degradation that has been going on so that law enforcement has a better sense of what's going on? Let's forget about the DOJ for a sec on this one and the federal concerns. Would that make sense in a different situation to have a specific element for marijuana growth?
Well, I think that the key phrase there is in a different situation, because we really are bound by federal and state law. And so with regard to the county taking that kind of a step, we would be, I think, putting ourselves at risk of federal pursuits, like, for instance, Mendocino County has done. Now, they didn't include it in their general plan. It was something that the sheriff basically came up with. They had a program for identifying where people were growing marijuana. And now the federal government has subpoenaed those records and are looking at what that program did. It's very, very tricky. And each week, practically, we hear of a new decision being made. I think over time, we'll get a much better idea of what is going to happen with marijuana, whether it's medical or for legal purpose, whatever it is, recreation purposes. Now, look at Washington. Look at Colorado. They're trying things out. Other states,
they're wrestling pretty much with the same stuff California has been having challenges with forever.
Yeah. And you know, you've got other states now that have embraced the idea of medical marijuana, and they're trying to figure out how to do it. It's a very complex issue. And in the meantime, it's right there. In my view, we're seeing a huge influx of people here specifically to grow marijuana on an industrial basis, having a huge impact on the environment. What can we do about it?
Well, I know the general plan is not a cultural document.
No.
It's not a social document.
It's a land use document.
Yeah, and I would think it would be tough to keep the focus sometimes on that, mm-hmm. Whether it's a swimming hole mm-hmm. at this location or this, or river access for this or that, let alone something as large or impactful to the county as lumber mills, tree harvesting, marijuana harvesting.
Mm-hmm. But do remember that even with regard to timber production, the county has a lot of The county works a lot with the state on that. I mean, most of the timber harvesting regulations are state regulations. Same to do with the water resources. All of our resources are already legislated by state and federal law. So the counties...
But the land use component of that is there as well?
The land use, no, the land use... component is policies and standards having to do with timber production zones, how they're zoned, where they're zoned, how land is classified, whether or not you can build a house on there, that kind of thing.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:30.
Value and selection in new furniture and appliances are just the beginning of the reasons why more North Coast customers like you shop at Burns Furniture. This month, you'll find exceptional prices on the new iComfort mattress sleep system and sale prices on Englander mattresses. It's June, so recliners are on sale, and you'll want to see what's new on the four big floors of furniture and appliances at Burns. Get free delivery from Trinidad to Scotia when you buy at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County 2nd District Supervisor Estelle Fennell. Estelle, part of the challenge, I would think, with trying to evolve this document called the General Plan is not the future, because you can't be really held accountable for the future. The current.
Yeah.
And getting it so that what's in place now is legal. Is recognized. So if I've got a house or I've got a barn that's got a mother-in-law unit on it, then you can't find any record of anything like that being on the books. How do we bring those folks into compliance now? Or is there that even a concern? And then you say, look, here's the reference. You're not abiding by it. You're illegal today. You're going to be illegal tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a whole other conversation. It really can't be folded into the general plan because it's not general enough, per se.
It's more of a specific plan?
Yeah. So what you've got is you've got a general approach to whether or not you want people to live in the rural area, et cetera, et cetera. We do have to address some of the issues that have evolved over the last 30 years, and I think we should be doing that, and we probably will. One of the issues that will be coming up in the general plan is water resources. How do we handle that? I'd like to see some incentives for water storage and conservation rather than just everything being willy-nilly. But in the meantime, we've got the state looking at that very same issue. We got to work with them.
It's intriguing for me to hear you mention that. And obviously, we're thinking more of the 2nd District related issues.
Or,
but at the same time, we got the MAD trying to get people to use the water so we can keep the rights. That dichotomy is just really, Carol Reese and I have had a couple conversations about it. It's almost a head spinner. Yeah, it's like, oh, wait a minute. Okay. And then you figure one thing out, and then that runs counter to the other concerns. And the back and forth part of it.
It's huge. I actually had a conversation. I was at an economic summit down in at the River Lodge on Friday, I guess. I ran into Mike Wilson from the Harbor District. We were talking about water. And I brought up, what about the use of water in the Mad River? What are the possible ways that we can keep those rights before they're taken away, and it's a big issue. And part of the conversation is, okay, so what if we don't find uses for it? The amount of water that was allotted for the use in the pulp mills was tremendous. And so what if we don't find a use for that? What happens? Well, the state does think big. Look at the two tunnels that they're building.
What was Ross Perot's phrase? About jobs going to Mexico? I think there's a very common analogy to that large sucking sound is the water getting pumped down south.
Yeah, exactly. It is a concern.
If we can keep it, that's grand. If it's not, it's not. I don't think it's not going to be utilized. I don't think all of a sudden we're going to be just putting more water into the ocean. I think they're going to come and the water's going to disappear and it'll be just like the Eel River. And once again, we lose a resource with zero compensation.
And it's going to be very, very difficult to fight that. If there is actually a move towards doing it, it'll be really difficult to dig in there.
Well, that's why they're busting their chops trying to do so much.
I wish Carol and everybody the best in figuring that one out. And anything I can do to help, I will. Let's put it that way.
That's a pleasant way to back yourself out.
No, really.
So you've got people taking water.
Yes. We have a lot of that.
I guess people undocumented, illegal.
Yes.
Is it illegal for somebody to drop a pipe into a creek that runs all the time?
Well, there are certain regulations about where and when you can withdraw water from a moving body of water.
So CEQA and all that stuff.
Yeah,
the state
your pump's supposed to stay in one place. You can't be moving it around depending on the flow. You know, there's all sorts of things like that that are regulated. And I think we're going to see more interest from the state on that issue.
Now, I know the folks, I've heard, I suppose is a more proper term, that the folks in the marijuana industry, that there are the fractionalization now going on, that there are those who are environmentally cognizant, I think would be the word I would rather than conscious. Cognizant, completely different from the plantation growers, completely different from the international growers. Do you sense that there's going to be, whatever the outcome of the general plan is, compliance in those sectors of the marketplace?
Well, I think that what's going to happen is that we're going to have to prioritize what we need to do about that egregious use of water, that egregious impact on the environment. We've got to prioritize it. We've got to figure it out. I know the sheriff is overworked, for sure. But I also know that they're very concerned, for instance, about what's happening in the national forest. And there are large sectors of public land that are also being used that way. And you've got neighbors concerned about drawdown of water, grading, et cetera, et cetera. So I would hope that as we go forward, we figure out a way to apply the laws that are already on the books to address those issues.
Whose laws?
State and federal mainly. And with regard, and county laws about grading.
Okay. The thing that I find most curious in all of this, and certainly there are a whole number of other areas that the general plan focuses on and would be applied to, is the lack of discussion at this point between the federal and the state just to get uniform interpretation of the marijuana laws. Having two sets of books just really seems goofy. But then on the flip side, we've got 58 different books in the state of California too. So to kind of have some coalescing of this, I would think it would make law enforcement, general plan, environmental enforcement, all of these different folks that are involved at one level or another, at least come from the same playbook. Are you sensing any of that beginning to occur, or the thought of that?
I think there'll be a cumulative, not impact, but, you know, just basically people are working in that direction. When we had back to the marijuana, I think it seems like you want to talk about that a bit.
Well, it would be the most critical change for Humboldt County as a single entity to wrap up land use in the rural portions of the county, and most of it is influenced either with ranching or with marijuana growth.
When we had the discussions, the outreach efforts on the proposed marijuana ordinance, one of the things that came up was how do you implement these laws that are on the books already, and that is really key. I think bottom line, what makes it very difficult, and you pointed it out, the difference between state and federal regulations. Honestly, for people who would like to see this all codified and included in the general plan and everything, they've got to go to the federal government and get it delisted. If that's what they want, if they want this to be legal and they want it to be regulated, then they've got to go to where the real crux is, and that is right at the federal level. And
constitutional amendment?
No, or they can go in and they can just Schedule 1 now.
Make it a Schedule 2.
Right, exactly, because it's on the level of heroin now, or opium. And so if
that's Mendocino County's issue. Sorry. Cheap shot, but I thought I'd throw that out there.
No, but obviously, you know, if things were straightened out a little bit between the feds and the state, it would be a lot easier for us at the ground level to come up with some regulations. But as it is, we really have to deal with those first. And so that's what I urge people who have that as their end goal, you know, try and get it worked on at the federal level, or at least at the state level. Now, there have been efforts at the state level in the state legislature, and they've kind of fallen off. There just isn't enough will yet to take it on.
Have you spent any time with the new congressman?
No, very little. I'm just when he was running, I wasn't here when he came for his last visit.
Just curious if he's made any formal decision or position.
Yeah,
on marijuana, because it certainly is pretty common in his district. You'd think he'd be out in front on it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he made some kind of statement about supporting legalization, but I don't know.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We'll be back. Final comments from Estelle.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, is there still opportunity for public participation? Are the five electeds now grinding through the process with the general plan? Where is it? Should we just sit back and watch the sausage being made?
I hope you don't. I really want people to be involved. You know, we got into a kind of a rhythm there with the ad hoc committee, which was comprised of various entities that were at different ends of the spectrum, working together and looking over some of the issues, and them giving us their feedback. Now with the forest resources, we have the resource lands working group giving us input. So we have that. I encourage everybody to be involved as much as they can.
There's still room, still time.
There's still time. Every single time we have a workshop, which is every second Monday, you can come in and address the issues. And at least 2 weeks in advance, you can know what we're going to be discussing, and often more than 2 weeks, even with the guiding principles. We talked about it for a long time, waited to see if the ad hoc committee would weigh in. They didn't, so then we brought it forward ourselves. But bottom line, please stay informed and involved.
Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
Here we are. Let's see now. Safe graduations, everybody, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
Okay. I didn't think you wanted to miss out. We've been talking with Estelle Fennell. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.